Please pray with me. Father above, we worship you this evening. We worship you because you sent your Son to come to us in times of darkness and bring us the light of the face of God. You have redeemed us and delivered us, Lord, and we owe all that we are to you. And so this evening, Lord, I pray that our songs would be pleasing to you, and I pray that our hearts would be filled with the goodness of God. Amen. Isaiah 9:2, the passage that we just heard Brandon read, Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of darkness, on them has light shone. Those who walk in darkness, those who dwell in a land of deep darkness. Isaiah is speaking of Israel in the 8th century BC. But the image of walking and dwelling in a land of darkness rings across human history as a description of all of mankind. It's a description of all ages and countries. It's a description of all families. The image is not limited to Zebulun in the land of Naphtali, to the land beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. Ever since Adam and Eve left the garden, walking and dwelling in darkness has described the entire human race. We see the darkness of war, the darkness of disease, the darkness of hunger, the darkness of fear, of death, of the deep guilt that springs within. Shame, fear, and guilt lie like a funeral pall on the entire human race. There are periods of optimism. There are periods of hope in human history, moments when economies are prosperous and nations are unified. Perhaps more personally, there are periods of peace and unity even in our families. There are periods when light shines and we rejoice together in joyous hope and love. Many Christmas Eve dinners and Christmas mornings are like that. Periods of united joy and love when we know peace with one another. But every period of light and peace is shorter lived than we hope and descends quickly again into darkness and shadow. For every Christmas morning full of joy, there is a Christmas fight in the afternoon. And for every Christmas Eve full of hope and love, there's a day afterwards of disappointment where things don't go just right. Our news cycle is full of fear and anxiety. The world, our nation, our way of life seem to be coming to an end nearly every year. Every political season, we hear the prediction that the economy will actually crash and our nation will be ruined in the future. Our world is full of fear and anxiety. The darkness of anger and mistrust and envy abounds in this world. In other words, Isaiah's description of those who walked in darkness and dwelt in deep darkness is one that is common to all of us. Our families feel the darkness of the world. There are painful fractures in all of our family. 2020 is not an exception to the course of human events. It has its own unique features, but the darkness of disease, of fear, of political mistrust, those things are so much more normal than we would like to acknowledge. But the beauty of this passage is that Isaiah didn't prophesy that those who walk in darkness and dwell in a land of deep darkness would remain in that darkness. That's the beauty of this passage. The prophecy is actually the opposite. As he said at the beginning of chapter 9, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. There will be no more gloom for her who was previously in anguish. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish, because the people who walked in darkness have had a great light shine upon them. This is the beauty of Isaiah 9. A great light has shone in the darkness of human history. A great light has shone in the darkness of human history, and because of that great light, all has been transformed. Everything is different now because this light that has shined. Even though darkness still surrounds us, And even though darkness still flows at times through our families, even though darkness still at times flows through our hearts, a light has actually shone forth in history. Isaiah prophesied of this light to come, the son who would be born. And we are gathered here tonight to celebrate and to declare against the darkness that the light has shone among us. The Son of God has been born. The darkness is not the end of the story, the end of the prophecy. Of course, then, it's all the more beautiful and fitting that it was in the darkness of night, not only just the darkness of night, but in a politically dangerous and fraught time to a weary young woman. It's in that moment that the Son of God is born, that the light comes shining forth, light shining in the darkness. He's not born in the palace. He's not born with attendants. He's not born in light and glory. It's in darkness that he comes, the deepest recesses of darkness. And yet the light shines forth in that minute. It's in that darkness that light births forth. And in the darkness of the night, the imagery is all over the story. And on the darkness of the night outside Bethlehem, where shepherds are out yet again in the darkness, the light that shines forth in the birth of the sun, overflows into the glory of angels, and the whole darkness is eradicated as the night is lit up with light, angels filling the sky, singing the glory of God. Light shines in the darkness and overwhelms it. Even in the darkness of this particular rainy December day, even in the darkness of this particular year of weariness, this particular year of strife, this particular year of fear, even in this darkness, we announce those same glad tidings. A son has been born. Everything is new now. A son has been born. Light has burst forth in the birth of Jesus Christ, and everything is different. The darkness is still around, but everything is different now. The darkness of human history is nothing other than our separation from God. The darkness of our human history is nothing other than the fact that we have sinned against him. God alone is light and life. And as Adam and Eve walked from his presence into the world outside of the garden, darkness and death fell on the human race. As Isaiah says 50 chapters later, our sins have made a wall between us and God, and we cannot see the light of his face because of them. When we left the garden, all that was left to the human race was death and darkness. But God was not content to remain separated from us. He entered into the darkness of human history because he was not willing for us to remain in darkness. He was not willing for us to remain separated from him. He came so close to us in our darkness that he even took our nature, our own human nature, into his very life. He became forever a man like us, yet still remaining God. In other words, in the incarnation, in the birth that we celebrate tonight and tomorrow morning, in the incarnation, God himself said yes to the human race. We had been saying no to him for centuries, but God said yes to us. He brought his light so close, even as we work to strengthen the depth of the darkness. The history of humanity is a history of us striving to increase the strength of darkness. And God said, I will bring my light close to you. He became like us and redeemed us, even as we sought to overthrow him as our Lord. This means, brothers and sisters, this means that God has actually said yes to you this particular evening. He has said yes to your family. He came that close to the human race, taking our nature into himself, saying yes to his creation, that he would not let it descend into utter darkness, but would shine his light into it and rescue it. And that means that he has said yes to you. He will not let you descend into utter darkness, but will shine the light of his life into your life. He is not content, in other words, for you to be separated from him. If he was willing to pursue humanity, to become like us, to take on our frailties, he will not let you go. He does not despise your frailties. He does not despise your weaknesses. He does not despise your fear and your shame and your guilt. We work so much of our life to shed of ourselves of our weaknesses. But Christ took on the fullness of human nature. He bears your very weaknesses. As you try to escape them, he embraced them. A light has shone upon you because the Son has been born. A light has shone upon you because a child has been given. You who previously walked in darkness, a light has been offered to you. As you leave this church this evening into the darkness of the night, and it's fitting that we walk out into the darkness because it's what so much of human history is like. As you walk into the darkness, rejoice that the darkness is not the final word. The darkness is not the end of the story. A light has shone in the darkness. A son has been born for you. As you walk out into the darkness, rejoice because the son has been given to you. This is what the angels declared to the shepherds. For you, a son has been born. The light of God has shined on your life. The light has shined on you who were in darkness. And so as you walk out into this world, remember again that a son has been born for you who can carry the weight of your world on his shoulders. As Isaiah 9 says, he can carry the government on his shoulders. If he can carry the government of the world, he can carry the weight of your life. He brings the kingdom of God to you, and he delights to usher you out of darkness and into light. Rejoice as you go out, because all things are new tonight. God has said yes to us yet again. All things are new. The darkness no longer rules you. The darkness no longer rules your family. Light has sprung forth for you. Jesus has said yes to your fragile frame. He has said yes to you in your weaknesses and fears and insecurities. He has shown his light upon you. He has showered his light, his love over your heart. He is born for you this night, and he delights to give you himself. Amen.